Let's open in prayer this morning as we come around the Word of God. We've got a very important message, topic that we want to look through over the next few weeks. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of God that you've sent and that he is speaking to our hearts even now. And Lord, we pray that we have spiritual understanding of things that you want us to know about, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning I'm starting on a new sermon series called Characteristics of Born-Again Christians. Characteristics of Born-Again Christians. You might say, well, why do we need to go through this? Well, the simple fact is that this is an area which I believe is very much being attacked by the enemy, and that is that there is a muddying of the waters. There are many people going around now saying, well, I'm a Christian, and yet they don't show the characteristics of what a Christian should be. And you'll see that the scripture is very clear that if you're born again, this will be what you'll be like. Why? Because when you're born again, when you're changed on the inside, you become what the Bible says, a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. So we're going to learn quite a few things. You might say, well, I've heard of this, I know about this. That's good. It'll not only consolidate within you what we need to know, but it'll also enable you to have discernment about just what a Christian is all about and what are the characteristics of a new creation or new creature in Christ. So it's important for us to see these whole things, this whole area. That's why I want to start on. I'm going to start off on 1 John chapter 4 because we're living in a day of great deception. Great deception. Great deception. There are, I believe, many false conversions around. Many people saying, well, I'm a Christian, and yet they live exactly like the world. And yet that is very, very different from what the Word of God says. You cannot live like the world. You cannot be like the world. And in fact, you cannot be, as the Scripture says, a friend of the world. Well, let's have a look at 1 John 4. We'll look at verse 1, and then we'll go down to verse 4. 1 John 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." What we see here is that there are many spirits that are speaking. But do you know that in God's eyes there's either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error speaking? And so we have to understand that there has to be a trying of the spirits. There's many evil spirits around. Okay? And we have to try and see, are they of God? If you go down to verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So we know that Christians are children, the children of God. We know that there is an overcoming that the children of God must have. We know that there is someone greater in us than he that is in the world. And that someone that is greater in us is Christ himself. The Bible says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Verse 5. Here's a litmus test. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." It is absolutely essential that we understand that many spirits have gone out into the world and they are speaking. They're even speaking to Christians. They've even come into some churches and They're saying all types of things that are in agreement with the world, and the world will hear them. Okay? Now verse 6 tells us, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if a person is of God, if they've been born again, then they will hear the spirit of truth. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And what's truth? Thy word is truth. And of course, the spirit of truth will always be in agreement with the word of God. I sat down with a man a couple of months ago and was talking to him. He told me that he had committed his life to Christ many years ago, but of course now goes to no church and still thinks he's a Christian. And in the course of the conversation, I was talking to him about a few things and talking to him about committing his life to Christ. And he said in the middle of the conversation, he said, "You don't think I'm a Christian. You don't think I'm born again." And I said to him, that's because a true Christian will have certain characteristics. See, we don't work to get to heaven. We don't earn our salvation. What we do is we receive what Christ has done. And then after that, after you're born again, you must live for Christ. You must live for Christ. You don't live for the world anymore. You don't live according to the ways of this world, which this man was, and exhibited little love for Christ, little love for the church, little love for the word. You can see where I'm getting at, can't you? A person who is truly born again will love the Lord God with all their heart. We're going to go through all these characteristics. We'll love Christ, we'll love the church, we'll love the word, we'll love the brethren. You see where I'm getting at now? And so when people exhibit none of that or very little of those characteristics and yet profess to be Christians, there's something really wrong. Are they speaking according to the spirit of error, or are they speaking according to the spirit of truth? The spirit of truth. Let's move on. Let's go back to John chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1. And we'll move through these scriptures fairly quickly, just as a foundation. And I know you've heard them, so I don't want to dwell on them too much. But just as a foundation into what we're leading into, the characteristics of born-again Christians. John 1, starting from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice capital W there for Word. Talking about someone with the title, Word. Okay? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see here that in the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was God. And of course, there's another scripture that tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. In fact, there's many scriptures talking about the Lord Jesus Christ was God and is God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So let's just ponder what's been spoken there. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if you want life, where do you go? You've got to come to Christ, don't you? And of course, outside of Christ, is the curse, is sin, is judgment. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's talking about John the Baptist. Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Here's another title of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see capital L there. The light. That all men through him might believe. All men through him, through Christ, might believe. So it's not through anyone else that people can believe, that people can come to God. It's through him, through the light. So that tells us that other religions are of darkness. Okay? I know that sounds blunt. And in fact, there are some truths in other religions, but the Word of God is quite clear. It's only through Christ that there is salvation and light and life and truth. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was blunt. He was exclusive, saying there's no one else. If you want to be saved, you've got to come through me. And that's very important. That's why the gospel must be preached. Christ is the only way. So be very clear in your hearts and minds too that there's no other way to God but through Christ. And so when you're directing people, you're not saying, oh, live a good life and you'll get there. You're saying, no, you have to come to Christ. You have to believe on Christ. You have to believe the gospel. You have to repent of your sins, turn away from sin, and turn to God. Verse 8, talking about John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Why not? Why didn't the world know him? What does the scripture tell us? The scripture tells us that there is a invading spirit, which is the little g god of this world, Satan, who has now caused this world to be corrupted because sin has entered into the world. And now the Bible calls this present world evil. Calls this world, this present evil world. Okay? Well, praise the Lord that Christians are delivered from this present evil world. That's what the scripture tells us in Colossians 1, for example. We are delivered from this present evil world. That tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us we've got to be separate from the world, the world's way of thinking, world's doctrines. So there's going to be somewhat an enmity against the world. In other words, we're not in a neutral faith. We're not following someone who is neutral. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I said before, is exclusive. And the kingdom of God, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So we're of the kingdom of God. And we'll see that as we go through John 3 in a minute. So verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now, look at this next word here. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there has to be a change inside a person. Because verse 12 talks about a change. As many as received him, received Christ, received the light, received the word. Those word and light are titles of Christ. As many as received him. Okay? Received him. Not rejected him, but received him. And believed him. Because it says, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Power from God will change things. And the Bible talks about the glorious gospel coming in and changing a person. Changed on the inside. Changed. Altered. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man. I know this is fairly basic, fairly straightforward, but we have to get it very clear, because when we're going to look at the characteristics of born-again Christians, there's not, oh, I'm a half Christian, so therefore I can't help being led astray by the world. Yes, you can. You can. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the power of God in you. You have, as it's got there, the power has been invested into your life, into your heart, to become the sons of God. You're a son or a daughter of God. Notice, talks about being born. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So now we're coming to being born into the kingdom, or into the family of God. And verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh, talking about Christ, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course we could go on further, but we see here very clearly that the word was made flesh, a historical event. God was made flesh, another scripture tells us. God was manifest in the flesh. So the word was made flesh. God entered into human life. Man became a man, lived as a man perfectly, and died for the sins of mankind. The Bible says he became a curse for us. Praise the Lord. He was our substitute. Of course, people have to admit that they're sinners, don't they, before they can say, well, I need a substitute. If you say, I'm all right, you know, I'm fine, I'll get along in life, you know, God will see that I did my best. Well, you're ignoring Christ, aren't you, by doing that? You're ignoring that the Lord Jesus Christ, of necessity for you, had to take your sins if you're to be born again, if you're to be changed, if you're to be born not of the will of man, but of God. That's God's will, for us to be born into his family. Praise the Lord. Now that was a very quick overview of the first part of John 1. We go across to John 3. John 3, verse 1. And once again, we could spend hours and hours on just John chapter 3 itself. And I guess if you added up all we've talked about it, it probably has been hours and hours. But let's have a look, and we'll once again go through it fairly quickly, because there's other areas I want to go into over the next few weeks. John 3, starting from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus acknowledged that Christ had come from God. He acknowledged that there were miracles from God. You notice that Nicodemus came by night to Jesus. It seems that others didn't know he was coming to see Jesus. He was a man of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, as you know, were quite against the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, and notice that Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. What does Nicodemus really need? What does Nicodemus really need? So, John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Once again, an exclusive statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot, let me emphasize that word, cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, either the Bible is right or it's wrong here. It's right because it's truth. If a person is not born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They will not be able to comprehend it in their life. They will not come into contact with it in their life. It'll just be a fantasy to them. They might hear someone say, oh yes, I'm a person of the kingdom of God. But to them, they'll think it's fantasy unless they're born again. That's why the gospel has to come. That's why Christ has to be preached. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What's he thinking about? Natural things, isn't he? Just in terms of the flesh. Okay, he's not thinking about spiritual at all. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is very simple to understand. Born of water is the first birth, the waters of the first birth, okay? The waters of the womb. And of the Spirit is the second birth, of the capital S, Spirit. He cannot, there's that word cannot there, enter into the kingdom of God. So he's saying you've got to go through two births. Number one, you go through the first birth, you're a person, you're a human being. But you've also got to go through the second birth, the birth of the Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Cannot. Doesn't matter how good you've been. Have you been born again? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour to take away your sin, to wash you clean by the blood of Christ? Have you trusted in what Jesus has done? Have you believed on his name, the only name that is available for us to be saved by, the Lord Jesus Christ? Cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, and then he basically repeats what he just said in verse 5, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay, that's the first birth. He's explaining to Nicodemus, there's a fleshly birth and there's a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So your nature, if you're born of the Spirit, is going to be spiritual. Can you see? Can you see? There has to be a spiritual birth, a change. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now notice he says, unto thee, unto you, singular, ye, talking about many, must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must. Once again, exclusive, just like that cannot. You cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And you must be born again. Why? Because if you don't go through the spiritual birth, you cannot be part of the family of God. You cannot be a sister or a brother unless you're born again. So ye must be born again. And if you're not in the kingdom of God, if you're not in the family of God, then you must be outside of the family of God, outside of the kingdom of God. And there's only one place that you'll end up after death, and that won't be heaven. That's why Jesus is so very, very clear here. You must be born again. So he talks about being born again. He talks about that you have to be born again to see the kingdom of God and to come into the kingdom of God. So it's not an option, is it? It's not an option. And this is why there has to be a point in a person's life where they say, I commit my life to Christ. I repent of sin. I'm no more going the way of the world. I'm going the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the gospel that he took my sins and died for me personally on the cross. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need it. I am a sinner. I have sinned against a holy God. And I need to be cleansed. I need to be changed on the inside. I need that spiritual birth. You know, God will hear that. And you come into the kingdom of God. Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a heart thing. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Look at verse 9. And by the way, if you've been born again for any length of time, I expect that you should be able to take people through this if they ever ask you about it. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there must have been a time in each of our lives where we called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and he lives today. He is alive. He's no longer dead. He's alive. And he lives to be intercessors for us. To be an intercessor for us. Interceding for us on behalf of us. And we confess him as our Lord. We believe him. We believe. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it talks about that change that I mentioned. That change. As many as received him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. To become. So there's become talks about a change. You've changed from a sinner to someone who's righteous. There's a change. And this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, you know it well. It's something that talks about a change that has happened in our lives. And there better be that change. Because we're going to be talking about characteristics of born-again Christians. And frankly, I've met up with a lot of people who say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but they exhibit none of the characteristics which the scriptures show. Which tells me that there's something terribly wrong with many churches today. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? I'm in Christ. If you're in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice the word become there. Become talks about a change has happened. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You were the old man, the old inner man, filled with sin, in bondage to sin, dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. But now you are alive in Christ. Is there a change between you being dead and now you being alive? There is, isn't there? It's a change. Are there changes in what you are? Of course, you are a new creature now. A new creature. A new creature is different from something that's old. As it says there, old things are passed away. Did you once love all the things of the world? Well, old things are passed away. You know, there's a saying that the things of the world have become strangely dim. You should be able to relate to that. Strangely dim. In other words, it doesn't have the same attraction to you. It doesn't have the same. The worldly system doesn't have the same attraction. In fact, many things within it will appear abhorrent to you. You'll sense it's not right. They're exalting man. They're exalting everything else except the Lord. And in you there is this desire for the Lord to be exalted. Constantly. Do you sense that? In you there's the desire. You're a new creature. All things have become new. There's a new way of living, a new way of talking, a new way of acting. That's why the Bible talks about renewing our minds. Minds renewed, transformed, changed. Spirit's been changed. Your mind has to also be renewed by the Word of God. And your flesh has to be disciplined to get in line with the Word. So there is a change. You're a new creature. You're no longer a servant of sin. Look at Romans 6, 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17 and 18. You might say, well, you've gone through this before, Pastor, but do we need to hear this again? Yes, we do. We do, because there's so much clouding in the world today. And because there's so much compromise with the world amongst many Christians, then that clouding is all the more deadly, because it gives people a false security, a false sense. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. Notice what it says here. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, isn't it? Were the servants of sin. Servants of sin are sinners, what we call sinners. You were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye, there's that word again, became the servants of righteousness. Here's the question. Did you change from being a servant of sin to being a servant of righteousness? Yes or no? Can I hear a few yeses? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Praise the Lord. You have changed from being a servant of sin to being a servant of righteousness. The Bible says you've been made free from sin and ye became the servants of righteousness. There's been a change. A change. And I think this is very, very important for us to understand, because when someone says, oh, I'm a Christian, I don't take that as a given anymore. If someone walked through the door and said, oh, I'm a Christian, just through my experience, I know that I can't just take that at face value. There has to be evidence of fruit. There has to be evidence. And that evidence will come out through the characteristics of born-again Christians. I'm going to go through over the next few weeks six key characteristics of new creatures in Christ. The first, which we won't be able to touch on today, but we'll touch on next time. The first is no habitual sinning. You're no longer a servant of sin. The second is you believe that Jesus is the Christ. The third is you'll do righteousness. The fourth is you'll love the brethren. The fifth is you'll overcome the world. You'll be a world overcomer by faith. In other words, you live by faith. And the sixth is you'll keep yourself pure. Now, you can be at various stages of development in all of that, but it'll be there. It'll be present in you. And it will be developed as you get older and older in Christ. In other words, you won't be getting more and more into sin. It should, the shackles of sin should fall more and more away, etc. And we'll talk about those. We'll look at those, because we have to be aware that there is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we have to be aware that there are characteristics separating people who are not new creatures in Christ from people who are new creatures in Christ. And this is very, very important. Because if a person says, yes, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's a real giveaway. Because God's not interested in just lip service, is he? He's interested in what has happened in a person's heart. Have they become servants of righteousness? Have they changed? Are they no longer what they were? Are they now servants of God? Are they now truly born again? And as I mentioned, there should be a time in any person's life where, yes, they made a firm commitment to Christ, and from that time they could see things changed. Things changed for the better. Everything changed in their life, and they've become what God wanted them to become. Children of God. Praise the Lord. So we'll be looking at these areas and going forward in this, because the Lord wants us to be, not only us to be clear, but also wants us to be on guard about some of the worldly trends that are coming into churches now, whereby the world is very much agreed with and opened up to. A deadly trend that would be. A deadly trend indeed. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for delivering us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of darkness, translating us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you, Lord, for changing us, for changing our hearts. We're no longer servants of sin, no longer with the desires toward the world and towards sin, but desire toward you. Father, I pray that more and more in us you would do that work, that sanctifying work that is needed, that we would be people that would stand out as lights for the kingdom of God. We'd be people of truth, that our hearts would be open to you, our ears would be open to you. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.